Amen. Let's go. Those of you joining with us the first time, we've been starting off with Hebrews 11:6. That's kind of been the foundation verse for that, along with Matthew 6:31 in the Johnson paraphrase. And the verse in Hebrews 11:6 is in the J.B. Phillips New Testament. And as I said before, I don't use different translations to try and impress anybody. When God gives me a verse, I read it in every translation I could find and then ask him, okay, which one do you want me to share with the people? And whatever it is, that's what we share. So Hebrews 11:6 in the J.B. Phillips New Testament says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, him being God. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God. So we're not going anywhere with God until we have faith in those two things. We believe without a shadow of a doubt that God is, and it's worth my while to not only find him, but to do what he says. Because since God exists, and he exists in all the fullness that the Bible says he has, it's worth my while to do what he says. It's worth your while also. Then Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33 in the Johnson paraphrase, Jesus said, again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. And if you know, if you have any idea of what's going on around you, you know, with not just the pandemic, but certainly the pandemic is one of them, there are opportunities for you to become anxious. And Jesus said, I'm repeating myself. Do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes? All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention. Say full attention. Say it that way. Banks are the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. I need to stop right there. That's letting us know, folks, that when we place all our emphasis on stuff that's going on around us, we're not paying God any attention. Because if I give something my full attention, I have no attention left for anything else. And it said that this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities, it occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. And that's letting us know that if our thoughts are always on, am I going to get it? Am I going to get it? Am I going to get it? When am I going to get it? How much am I going to get? We're unaware that God's presence is there with us. We're unaware. Jesus said, I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all of your physical needs. Then he gives us a command, not a suggestion. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. When you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. So it's important that we have to get a proper perspective of just what this is. And like I said, this is lesson 13. You know, kudos to all of you who've been hanging with us through all of these lessons. Because I can tell you, I never know how long it's going to be, but we're going to keep going till he stops. We're living in times, folks, that we never expected to live. God knew that. He knew we would need a focal point. He knew we would need an answer. So he sent the answer in the person of Jesus. And then he said things, he had things recorded in what we know as the Bible so we could reference them and we could believe. Look at John 20. Just kind of setting the stage. Beginning with verse 30, King James Version. John wrote, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. So it's telling us there's a lot about Jesus that's written in the Bible, but there are many things that Jesus did that are not written in the Bible. But these are written. What's in there was placed in there that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have faith through his name. So we want to understand that the Bible was written, a lot of Jesus' accounts were written so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Because if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then God has to exist. And knowing that God exists, if we know that God exists, we can understand that it's worth our while to try and find God, to have a relationship with God, and we'll understand that it's foundational. And everything needs to have a proper foundation. Look at Matthew 7. I want to share from verse 24 out of the Passion Translation. Because we have to understand that we must have a proper foundation. Jesus said, everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life. So it's not enough just to hear the words. You have to take the words and apply them to your life. Everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. When the rains fell and the floods came with fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. It didn't stand firm, folks, because it looked good. Everybody walked past and said, oh man, that's a gorgeous house. It didn't stand firm because it talked a good game, and it didn't stand firm because it was popular. It stood firm because of its firm, strong, unshakable foundation. And we need to understand that. There are a lot of things that look good, sound good, and act good. But it's not to be built upon for us because it doesn't provide that firm, strong, unshakable foundation. Say, I need a firm, strong, unshakable foundation. Verse 26, but everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on sand. When it rained and rained and the flood came with wind and waves beating upon his house, it collapsed and was swept away. So again, it doesn't matter how great something looks, something or sounds. If it's not a firm foundation, it's going to be swept away. And if you have built or tried to build your life upon that shaky foundation, you'll find yourself being swept away. Your life must be built. My life must be built on a strong, firm, unshakable foundation. And this way, when stuff comes, and stuff is going to come, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. He didn't say you might have. He said the thief comes. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He didn't say he might come. The Bible tells us, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So the question I would pose to you, just before we move on, why would I always have to be given a victory if I wasn't always going to be in a fight? Why would I always have to overcome if there wasn't something that was always going to be happening? So we have to stop being shaken because things come. Things are going to come. But if we're standing on a firm, solid, unshakable foundation, it won't matter what comes because we're not moving. There's a quote I didn't take time to find out who it was by, but it says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I was thinking about that this evening, and I'm seeing it a little differently. You can be standing for something, but if you're not standing on the right foundation, you're going to fall anyway. So it's not a matter of standing. It's what are you standing on? That's what matters. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists, and secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God. In Matthew 6:33, you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. And when you get a proper perspective, when you start to understand those things, all the other stuff will take care of itself. Why? Because giving first priority to the spirit dimension, that practice will cause you to have a firm, strong, unshakable foundation. I want you to see how it works in Matthew 16. In the Passion Translation, starting at verse 13, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question. What are people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am? Now, mind you, Jesus wasn't concerned with his reputation. He's showing us something here. They answered, some are convinced you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Stop there for a minute. Because again, I'm seeing things that I haven't seen before. If you haven't gotten it settled that God exists, you'll have a number of opinions coming at you. All of them are wrong, but you won't know it. People are going to say, it's John the Baptist. No, it's not John the Baptist, it's Elijah. No, you're crazy. It has to be Jeremiah. Well, I think all of you are nuts. I don't know if it's John the Baptist or Jeremiah. I'm not sure about that, but I know it's one of the prophets. How do you build on that? How do you build on it? People are going to be coming at you with different things. Take the vaccine. Don't take the vaccine. Yeah, take the vaccine, but make sure you take this one and not that one, because they found out this happened. And if you're not on a firm foundation, you'll go crazy trying to figure out what's what. Verse 15, but you, who do you say that I am? Jesus was saying, forget them. What's your belief? What type of foundation do you have that I can build upon? Simon Peter spoke up. Found that interesting. No one else had anything to say on the matter. But Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this rock will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overcome it. So Jesus said, the revelation that I am the Christ, the revelation that I am the Son of the living God, that revelation is the bedrock foundation. Now, bedrock is not just the town where the Flintstones live. In geological terms, bedrock means unbroken, solid rock. It's bedrock. It can also mean fundamental principles of a belief. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, means Jesus exists. And God, and the fact that Jesus exists means that God exists. And knowing that God exists is a solid, unbroken fundamental. We have to get that. Otherwise, we'll be shaken all over the place. The Johnson paraphrase says we're to give that the first priority to the spirit realm. First priority. And when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. Now, we've got to go back to Matthew 16, 19. The Passion Translation. After Jesus said, I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, after he said that, I'm going to build my church, he says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. That's what I'll give you. The keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Find it interesting that this translation says that which is, because that implies or infers something. It lets you know that there's something already going on. Not something that's going to happen. It's something that's happening. It's something that's happening now. He said, I give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is, you could insert, already forbidden in heaven. So that means all this stuff that's going on earth that's not good has already been forbidden in heaven. So why aren't we forbidding it on earth? We don't know that. Why don't we know that? We're not looking at the spirit dimension. We're looking at the natural dimension. And we're giving first priority to walking by sight and not by faith. When the word clearly tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. But we're walking by that which we see and that which we hear. And our dependence on our five senses has made us walk around like we're senseless because we're not seeking first. We're not giving first priority to the spirit dimension. So we don't know what was forbidden in heaven. We're not inquiring. It also says that I have the keys so that I could release on earth that which is already or what has already been released in heaven. But since I'm not seeking heaven, how do I know what's released? How can I release something that I don't know is happening? Because again, I'm looking at natural ways to do this. I'm looking and studying cryptocurrency. I'm looking at all of these other ways. I'm playing lotto. I'm doing all these other ways to try and get things when I have been given the keys and all I have to do is release it because it's already been released in heaven. Why has it already been released in heaven? So I can have access to it anytime I want. But if I don't know that, if I'm not aware of that, I'm not going to heaven to look for anything. I'm going to talk about going to heaven until it looks like I'm about ready to go. Then I'm going to be upset because I'm going to heaven. Well, I need to understand that what's already been released in heaven, I can release. What's already been released in the spirit dimension, I can release in the earth, in this earthly dimension. If I know it's there, and if I know I can do it. And if I'm not seeking first the kingdom, or if I fail to seek first the kingdom, if I fail to give the kingdom the first priority, I won't know anything about what's going on in the spirit realm. So how can I act on it? I don't know. I can only act on what I know. And I don't know kingdom, but I know worldly. So I get stuck in the world. There are issues, there are choices, there are influences, whatever you want to call them, they're flying all over the place. And we're like the answer that the disciples gave Jesus. We're not sure what we're looking at, some say it's John, some say it's Elijah, some say it's Jeremiah, some say it's none of those, but it's something. Yeah, well, how do you know for sure? What do you say? And right now, too many of us can't say anything because we don't know. How did Peter know that Jesus is the Christ? He got revelation from heaven. That's what it says in the scripture. Jesus replied, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you." I'm wondering, because the Bible doesn't say, but I'm wondering if Peter had a thought, and his thought was, God, who is this person really? And God gave him revelation. I'm thinking he had to be the only one thinking along those terms. Everyone else was basing their thoughts and their comments on what everybody was saying. And when it got down to the question, okay, we know what everybody else is saying. What are you saying? Well, they were so busy focusing on what everybody else was saying, they had no thought of their own. They couldn't get an agreement. Well, maybe it's this. Well, I don't know. It might be that. Well, I don't know. It's something, but I'm not quite sure what it is. But we can be more than sure. But in order to do that, we have to do something different. And the different thing we need to do is to seek first, to give first priority to the spirit dimension. First priority. God is a spirit, is he not? Because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, then when we need to get something from God, we need to have access to where God is. He's in the spirit dimension. Not going to go down to the corner and God's going to be sitting on the bench. Say, come on, sit down and talk with me. The spirit dimension is where we need to be looking, because that's where God is. That's where heaven is. I give you Matthew 16, verse 19, the Passion Translation. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden. He gives us keys. I have keys. I left them over here. And I'm partially off camera, but I'll be back. I have keys. These keys let me in any door I need to get into here in this building. The only way they work, I have to, first of all, know that I have them, know that they're available to me, knowing what they access. And knowing that if I'm given the keys, I have the right to use them. So if I want to know what's been released, I open up and say, okay, good, that's been released. I'm releasing it here on earth. If I open the door and say, oh no, that needs to stay locked up, I'm locking it down here on earth. You can do those things when you have the keys. Not just two of. That means having keys to the kingdom means you get in the front door. Of the kingdom means you have access to every nook and cranny. If it has a lock on it, I have access to it. It's just that simple, because I have the keys of the kingdom. Kingdom being Redeeming Love Christian Center in my home. So we should really be using our keys to bind or release based on what's already been bound, what's already been released in heaven. But if I'm not giving first priority to the spirit realm, I won't know. And if I don't know what I can release or what I should be bound, where does that leave me? At the mercy of what this world says. At the mercy of those who the world says is your mouthpiece. I haven't yet heard anybody that actually represents what I believe. I haven't heard them. I've heard people say a lot of different things, but I haven't heard things that I said, oh, I'm getting behind them 100%. No, the only one that I'm behind 100% is God and the Christ. Because those are the only two that I know they absolutely have my best interest. Everybody else wants my vote, wants my backing. So yeah, they're going to say things that they think I want to hear. Well, if you want to say what I want to hear, tell me truth, because I want to hear truth. That's what I want to hear. So we should be binding and releasing based on what's already been bound and loosed in heaven. And in order to do that, we have to keep first things first. We have to first believe that God is. We have to believe that he's in the spirit dimension, and we give our first priority to that dimension. Forget about what's going on in the White House, what's going on in the spirit realm. Because that'll tell me how I'm supposed to pray for what's going on in the White House, or any other seat of government authority, or any type of authority for that matter. When you get an understanding that you can bind in this earthly realm, or you could say bind in this earthly dimension, what has already been bound in heaven, that'll take care of the stuff that's going on. You just bind it because it's already bound in heaven. And you don't have to worry about what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? You know, am I going to be able to retire? Or am I going to have to work till I'm 90? What's going to... No, if you understand, you've sought, your first priority has been the spirit dimension. And you know that what's already been released in heaven, you can release on earth, then you don't have to wonder about the promises of God. You can just release the promises of God on this earth realm because they've already been released in heaven. Everybody in heaven is healthy, absolutely healthy. Everybody in heaven has all their needs met, all of them. You could say nobody in heaven has a need. That can be released here. If you don't believe it, read Acts 4, toward the end of Acts 4 when it talks about the early church. It says, none of them lacked. None of them. Everybody took care of everybody. If by chance someone didn't have something, someone gave it to them. So nobody lacked anything. Because they were all on one accord. They were all on the same foundation. They didn't get swept in to the politics of their situation. When you release in this earthly realm what's already been released in the spirit realm, you'll start seeing more of the miracles that we're looking for. We're not going to see great miracles looking in the world for them. They've already been released. We need to release them. That's all we have to do. And if we don't make that our first priority, we'll always be shaken because we won't be on a firm, strong, unshakable foundation. I remember the Apostle Paul was talking about all of the things that he went through, how many times he'd been beaten and robbed and talked about it. He said, but none of these things move me. Why? Because he knew how to build an unshakable, on an unshakable foundation. So when stuff came up, it didn't move him. Didn't move him at all. And I have to show you something else. I have to show you this. Hebrews 11:6. We know it says in the Phillips translation, in the Phillips New Testament, without faith it's impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists, and second, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God. It's worth a man's while to try and find God. In Matthew 6, verses 31 and 33 in the Johnson paraphrase, again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes? All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. Yes, I'm going to say this so much you're going to be repeating it in your sleep. I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all your physical needs. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. When you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. That caused me to think about something. How are we to fight the devil? I wish you could give me some answers, but I'll give you one. We're not. We're not supposed to fight the devil. James 4, verse 7, the second part of that, you can say 4:7b says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It doesn't say stand toe-to-toe and swing away at the devil. It says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if you don't have the right foundation, it won't work. We get excited about that. Yeah, I'm going to resist the devil and the devil will flee. And we start calling the devil all these nasty names, which we shouldn't be doing. Because Jude 1:9 says that even Michael the archangel, when contending for Moses' body, didn't call the devil names. He just simply and humbly said, the Lord rebuke you. That's all he said. But we get excited and we get very demonstrative and all this stuff, and the devil's not going anyplace. We're saying, I'm resisting, I'm resisting, I'm resisting, but you're not putting first things first. What do you mean? Well, you're resisting the devil. Yes. The Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee. Yes, why isn't he fleeing? If you're doing it the right way, why isn't he fleeing? Why is he still all up in your business, all up in your face? Why is he still controlling the thoughts and actions of some of your children? And you, why is that happening? Why does it seem like everywhere you turn and look, the devil's at work doing something? He's supposed to be fleeing from us. Why isn't he fleeing? Say first things first. Let's read all of James 4, 7, not just the second part of it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The first part of that scripture tells us why the devil's not fleeing. Submit yourself to God. Give first priority to the spirit dimension. If we are not doing that, and Jesus told us that's what we should be doing, we are not submitting ourselves to God. If we're not submitting ourselves to God, there is no way we can resist the devil. And if there's no way we can resist the devil, he doesn't have to flee from us. So he's right there in your face because you're not letting your first priority be the spirit dimension. You're not seeking God first. First. Find out, he knows what the proper devil repellent is. But if you don't ask him, if you're not seeking him, if you're trying to figure it out on your own, it won't work. And the devil won't have to go anywhere. We have to understand how important it is to first believe that God exists. To seek first his kingdom. To give first priority to the spirit dimension. If we don't put God first in all of those situations, the devil will continue to run roughshod over us and over this planet that God gave us control of. We're the gatekeepers. We're the caregivers. We're the protectors. And the only way we'll be able to do the job God placed us here to do is if we learn how to keep first things first. First priority, spirit dimension. Seeking God first. All these other things will take care of themselves. Mainly because you'll be standing on a rock that's solid, that's firm, and that's unshakable. And you'll stand through anything and everything that comes. But you got to submit to God. That means we got to seek Him first. We have to put Him first. We got to keep first things first. Father, we thank You. We give You all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank You again, for rearranging our thought process, for helping us get things in the proper order, enlightening our understanding, increasing our revelation, so that we can be the people You've created us to be, so we can be the church for which the very gates of hell shall not prevail. But it's all based on our seeking You first. Letting our first priority be the spirit dimension. Having faith that You exist. And because we have faith that You exist, we'll seek You in everything that comes. Because we know You're the only one that has the right answer. So Lord, we repent for the times that we've gone off on our own and we failed to acknowledge You. We repent for thinking that same mindset, well, it may be John the Baptist, it may be Elijah, it may be one of the prophets or Jeremiah, somebody, I don't know who it is. We repent for that, Lord. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, You exist. Christ exists. And because You exist and Christ exists, we can do everything that You said we can do. Thank You for reminding us that we have the keys to the kingdom and how we're supposed to use them. And thank You for sending the Holy Spirit to remind us of the things that You've said to us tonight, to guide us into all truth, to show us proper use, to let us know, unlock this door, lock that door. And as He speaks, because He is Spirit, and we're going to give first priority to the Spirit dimension, we'll hear Him and we'll obey. Thank You for it all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Two quick things before I let you go. Before you can seek first the kingdom and have the keys, you have to have the one who holds the keys, and that's Jesus the Christ. And it's very simple. The Bible says if you just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and then believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all you have to do. So very quickly, just say, Jesus, I believe You died for my sins. I believe You went to hell in my place. And after spending 3 days in hell, I believe that God raised You from the dead. So I'm asking You, Jesus, I'm turning my life to You. And I'm asking You, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance. And I turn towards You. And I ask You to make something new of me. It's that simple. You confess it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, you're saved. All that we ask you to do is to contact us using the information on the screen. Just contact us. So why do I need to contact you? Well, we're going to send you some free information. We're going to let you know who you've become in Christ. We're going to let you know the steps that you want to take next. That's all we're going to do. That's all we're going to do. No, we're not going to try and get you to come to this church. If God wants you to come here, He'll tell you and you'll be obedient because you're seeking first His kingdom. And whether you become a member here or not, we're always going to stand here like this. You're always welcome here at Redeeming Love Christian Center. If you have a question about anything that I share tonight, use the same contact information. You contact me, I promise you, I will get back to you. Like I say all the time, it probably won't be the same day, could be, but probably won't be, but I will get back to you. You have my solemn promise.